TotalSportCards.com. Canada's number one stop for WWE, AEW, UFC, NHL, NBA, and NFL hobby boxes. Total Sport Cards always delivers the most sought-after products with the best price points in the market that you can find. Keep your collection up to date with TotalSportCards.com. TotalSportCards.com, proud sponsor of Sunday night's main event.
Welcome to the Rampage Ramble, yet another episode, and this one is in the middle of a jam-packed week and a professional wrestling, but I thought it would be great to catch up with my great friend, Dax. Dax, how's it going?
I am on a second tank of empty, but it's all a good fun and passion of what we do.
Right?
You know, just a lot going on since the last time we got together, which was the WWE 2K review that we did on my show. And that was a lot of work. That was like, that was more work than I ever thought of doing in an interview. But that just shows my passion as a wrestling fan.
Yep, that's exactly it, right? And it's crazy because that was only 8 days ago.
Yeah, my God.
I know, right?
Oh, why'd you say
that? Yeah, that's
and how then on top of that. Right, and then on top of that, I did my interview with Molly Flanagan, the voice of Naruto, star of ABC's Not Dead Yet, and the upcoming star of the new Adult Swim show, Royal Crackers, that will be premiering tomorrow, I believe, right after WrestleMania. So, yep. And it's gotten such great reviews because they shot out the first episode on YouTube, which you can watch right now. It is hilarious. It is like old school Adult Swim hilarious. And then on top of that, the reviews were so good that they already gave it a second season. And that's before the actual show premiered and debuts tomorrow. That's insane.
Yeah, that's awesome. That, you know, that's how you know that something is going to be good, right? Especially nowadays when everyone makes decisions based off metrics and numbers and a formula when a network trusts you enough that they're like, yes, let's do this again.
Yeah. That speaks volumes. I'm looking forward to it because her role in there is really great. The show is basically like, she said it best. If you go on an interview at talktimelive.com right now, you can go check it out. It's a really awesome interview that I had with her. Really awesome. She's just one of my most trusted and reliable friends out there. And for her to get these opportunities, just awesome. But it's basically, she called it a low budget Succession. That's the best way to describe it. If you watch the episode, yeah, and it really is.
That's hilarious. Isn't WWE a low budget Succession?
God, hey, making a billion? No, hell no.
I know.
I'm not a WWE fan these days, but I'm not going to lowbrow them like that.
You know, it's hilarious because I rarely do that. But when I get the chance, I'll take it sometimes just to get that smart ass comment in.
And respectfully so.
Yeah. All right. So let's geek out a little bit. What's happening in the world of geek? What have you been playing? What have you been watching? What's going on?
Okay. All right. Finally got out of the WWE 2K. I'm still playing it per se, but like I'm still finding the same issues with that. But this week on Select Start, because of everything that's going on in this WrestleMania weekend, it was just no point. Plus, I did the interview. Next week, I'm going to be reviewing Bayonetta Origins.
Nice.
Cereza and the Lost Demon. And Platinum Games is one of my favorite companies. What the funny thing about them is that they make technically the same game, but they are able to reinvent the wheel every single time and be a little bit more innovative with each installment of a game that they put in. And this is no different. This is like a complete contrast from what you would expect if you ever play a Bayonetta game. So I'm going to be talking about that. I'm currently playing that. I'm actually playing quite a few other games too right now, but that's going to be my focus. But the biggest focus I'm going to be talking about, if you don't, do you own, we talked about this before, but you own Marvel Avengers?
Yeah.
So I don't know if you've been able to catch up because you've been busy as hell, but yesterday.
I saw randomly. Okay. When I was, I forget what I was doing. I think I was doing notes for Supercard of Honor, and just somehow randomly something popped up saying, you know, the last update is out today.
So basically, for those who don't know, if you've been a gamer interested in wondering whether you should get or play or invest in Marvel Avengers, I would say now is the absolute time, because what has happened is that they have released every single cosmetic that they were trying to sell to their fan base or their target audience and everything, because at the end of the day, they failed at trying to attempt to nickel and dime everybody with these cosmetics. And Avengers in its core is actually a solid game. But what diluted it was the idea that they were based on greed. And the greed was this fan service practice that we see in every other game. And they were trying to focus on the online functions of the game and try to get you to buy every single type of cosmetic. When I say cosmetic, I mean skin. I mean the takedown deals, which all cost money, real money. And it was too much. It was too much. And then on top of that, the game was buggy and glitchy at the time. But to their credit, after 2 years, it took 2 years for them to do this, it finally became a stable and solid game. The story mode has always been that. It's been the strongest point of the game, and it's what they should have focused on. But they were wasting time trying to come out with these elaborate skins and these repetitive, stages and modes that they were going in. People got bored after a while, and they started seeing through it. If you realize when you see this, when you download that patch and you see all the skins that they're giving away, because it's all of them, each character, and there's like 12 characters in there now. Each character has dozens and dozens of skins that they were trying to sell you. If you add that, if you do the math on that, you would be spending almost over $3,000.
Wow.
On one game. That's is insane.
Wow.
And I'm saying roughly $3,000. It's a little over $3,000 because you got also add, the other content as well. They were giving away the DLC characters for free and the modes for free in place of being able to buy it. That was their strategy. It did not work. It shouldn't have worked because nobody should be paying $3,000 on one game. This is why I had issues with games like this since dating back to DC Universe and those, I forgot whatever PC games that they were doing, where you spent like $50 a month for just to play this game. And I think right now, this is exposing the industry, and hopefully we become smarter consumers in the process of this.
You would think so, right? You would absolutely think so, but I don't know.
Like WWE and like many others, but mostly I point WWE because they, to me, I feel like they're transparent. But they pride, the companies like those, they pride on the naivete of its fan base, not its consumer base, its fan base, because fans don't consider themselves consumers. They consider themselves just fans. And when your fandom clouds your mind and judgment and even, your logic of what are you investing in? So, and the sad part is I've heard online, I've spoke to people online who said they know somebody, or there's always going to be a few people who that try to flex online and flex on the gaming industry that said, I brought the entire set.
Yeah.
Exactly. Not realizing what they did.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Right. And that's, but you know what? And that's the thing. That's why if one or two people do it, I'm just saying for the sake of saying, and I know that there's a magic number that every developer has. Right. But if enough people do it, they're going to keep doing this. Right. Even if the majority cry, bitch, complain, whatever, there's still, they're going to continue this practice for the simple fact that they have enough people giving enough money to increase their monthly revenue.
Right. Absolutely. And I mean, on top of that, we also learned this week in gaming, E3 is officially canceled. This is the most heartbreaking thing to me since G4 canceling too. Did y'all have G4, the network in Canada?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we did.
Like, for those who don't know and listening, G4 was at one point one of the most awesome networks out there because it was a network totally dedicated to celebrating the history, the art, and the culture of gaming. And the first time it came around, like, in the early 2000s,
yep,
they were all about games. They had everything from documentaries to game shows to, X-Plays and review shows and all this stuff. And then suddenly they got bought over by another network, I believe HDNet or whatever like that. And like corporate always does, they decide to change the entire format around. And all of a sudden, we got more than gaming in this whole entire project. And in fact, we got more than what we asked for. Now we got Star Trek, we got American Ninja Warrior, and all people want to do is just play, to have the gaming aspect. And then he just started changing up too much of the formula that made it so whole. And then it turns out, plus a lot of bad business decisions, they end up getting defunct after a while. Calmacast decided to buy it and bring it back, hoping to, get this, bring back the fandom that they once had. But this is now a new era where we have social media and streamers out there that are, they're competing with now. And the streamers weren't having it. So yep, they were trying their best. These streamers were trying their best to like take these guys out. And they didn't take them out. G4 took themselves out.
Yep.
Thing when is, it, when though, it was like,
one, yeah, the end of G4 kind of happened as the streaming game really started getting more popular, as it became a little more mainstream, I should say. This is what, just 10 years ago, right? All of this was happening. I had to think of what apartment was I living in watching Attack of the Show, right?
Right. And that's the other thing, too. People always, when they think G4, they always thought Attack of the Show and X-Play, and it wasn't that.
It
was like Electronic
shows.
Playground, which is still around. EP is still around. EP Daily is still around. Victor Lucas still runs that. Canadian, he's from Canada too. Like he does tremendous. I don't understand why they didn't bring him back. It was just like more of the same mistakes were happening. Then they had the controversy that happened with that kind of really led to the downfall of it all. And they end up canceling out. So now E3 is also now the Repop, the people that I've worked with, they were planning to, take this over and try to revitalize what was lost. But for some reason, every single major company, the Nintendos, the Xbox, the PlayStations, the Ubisoft, all of them decided to opt out of doing it, probably mostly for budgetary reasons. And now everybody wants to do what Nintendo's doing when it comes to the Nintendo Direct deal because of how successful they're doing it. Now everybody wants to do their own virtual showcase because it's probably less money to do that than to support everything. But I feel like
it's not only less money.
That sucks.
I think what it comes down to is the fact that with E3, you were sharing the stage with your competitors, right? Let's always remember what happened when PlayStation 4 and Xbox 360 were revealed around the same time, right? They were swapping hardware information. So now, in order for these companies to control their medium, to control the message, to control everything, they have their own showcases, right? So it's a combination of not wanting to deal with third-party companies.
The competition.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So here we are.
Here's the thing.
It sucks, though.
I feel like it's inevitable that you're going to be competing in some form or fashion. I think they just too afraid. And let's be real. Every single year at E3, the marquee of E3 has always been Sony.
Yep.
Sony's always brought it. Like we could go back to 2018 or 2019. It was 2018 or 17 when they revealed Final Fantasy VII, remake.
Yep.
People cried mm-hmm. when that game came out. And what did Xbox have to show for? Like, it really, after, like, this Xbox has never been, like, the talk of the town at E3. And I think that's the reason why. Nintendo, meanwhile, has always been in the middle. It's the Seinfeld episode. It's like George decides to change the way he is, and he becomes, his life is better. Elaine's life sucks. Seinfeld's the same. Seinfeld is Nintendo.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Always evened out. Always ends up on the same level. Yeah, no, that's exactly it. No, it really sucks that E3 is gone. I'll for sure be talking about that on Monday on It's Canon Podcast. And I think our topic du jour is going to be PC gaming after the debacle release of The Last of Us.
Oh, tear that down, man. I hate to say it.
To what we had talked about, literally shitting on 2K and WWE, right? Days later.
But even still, even more, because the PC community is almost as obnoxious as the MMA community.
Sometimes.
They swear to goodness that they are like the whole, like the holy grail of gaming, because, you know, they used the higher resolution, the frame rates and all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, but you're in your room gaming. Like, I want to be relaxed into my living room. So I don't need it. It's like, I'm still getting the same experience that I'm getting just without the faster frame rate at times. I don't need it, but they make it seem like they're holier than thou. But we've noticed throughout years that they had so many different issues. Batman Arkham Knight, you know, people want to forget that. Yeah. And I can list the, you know, quite a few, but it's like that. You saw the pictures, man. That Last of Us. Wow.
Yeah.
That was something.
And yeah, so I'm going to really break that down. I'm going to talk about some games of the past that this issue has happened. I'm going to be talking about, obviously, The Last of Us. And now that we're streaming, hopefully now we'll be able to get some more audio video involved there so we can actually see those differences, because holy crap, yeah, it is night and day. Honestly, the low res version reminds me of the PS3 version of The Last of Us,
which will probably mean like it's the equivalent of a Nintendo Switch game on a handheld.
Yeah, exactly. Because
that's what Cyberpunk on a PS4 looked like. That it was terrible. Like, had I not decided to go back it on a PS5 version, I probably would never play Cyberpunk ever again after my experience on a PS4, because it was just god awful.
I was lucky to play that only on PS5, right? I did install it on my PS4 just to see how it was, and I didn't play it long enough to really see issues. I'm talking like half an hour, right? And I know that was more than enough time to see issues, but I was lucky in that sense. So my experience of Cyberpunk was very different, but it shouldn't be like that, right? But again, that's what we'll talk about on Monday. I'm going to jump to wrestling for the simple fact that everyone right now is listening to us as they're gearing up for NXT, WrestleMania, GCW, what have you. There's so much on the docket this weekend, because it is WrestleMania weekend. One of the busiest, if not the busiest weekend for professional wrestling. It probably is the busiest. Dax, outside of, Rampage, are you watching anything else this weekend?
Really? Nah, I'm really not. Like, I I'm not, I don't do WWE, at least not this year. I'm playing the Lance Storm card. I'm not watching it until, like, we know what the hell's going on with this business situation.
Yeah.
I all respect to the talent, all respect to the production value, the marketing, what that they've been doing. It's been awesome. I'm a fan of marketing, and I've always been a fan of WWE marketing and their branding. This one was top notch, because every single show that I watched this week had some WWE influence in it. I watched TMZ. The Street Profits was there. Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
They had somebody there. It was just, Groundhog's Day was just on right before I came into this office. And what did I hear? There was a scene in there where Bill Murray gave these couple WrestleMania tickets. I'm like, that had to been set up, because it was on Fox. It was on FX.
Crazy. It is absolutely crazy how how much wrestling is just thrown in your face this week. And it's great to see at the same time, though, just because, like, you know, a lot of people love to say how wrestling isn't as mainstream as it was in the Attitude Era. And, okay, it might not be in your face, but right. Business has never been better. It's more of a strategic in your face and marketing.
As much as I don't, I got my deals with McMahon. I will never deny his savvy.
Yep.
And the company savvy for that matter. I mean, like, this is what you should be doing in business. This is how you conduct business from that standpoint. Like, but everything else I believe just needs to be as ethical as possible as well. Not perfect, but just enough to say, like, all right, you're not, there's no dirt. There are skeletons in the closet there. But man, I wish everybody who is watching it the best, and I hope they enjoy themselves. Yep. But other than that, I wanted to watch the ROH Supercard of Honor, which I was following from what you said. It was pretty damn good, all things considered. Situation.
Yeah, it was a very good show. You know, 0 hour, typical AEW 0 hour. They had three matches. Yeah. We saw the introduction of former ROH Pure Champion and World Champion Nigel McGuinness to the commentary desk. Honestly,
thank goodness.
Dax, I think ROH has the best commentary team in pro wrestling today.
It does now. It does now. Like, you know, it's funny because people online were actually asking about what happened to Nigel McGuinness. Because nobody's heard from him in quite some time. And he was supposed to be doing like a magic show last I heard or something like that recently. And he magically appears on this show. And, you know, respectfully so. I'm glad that Tony was able to get him back. And he's willing to come back to do this. Because ROH is his home. It's still one of his greatest runs as is in his career.
Yep, that's exactly it. So Nigel McGuinness is back. We had some pretty good matches, but I think the match of the night for me was for the AAA Mega Championship, El Hijo del Vikingo versus Commander. Honestly, if there's any match that you can catch, Dax, watch this one.
Yeah, my thing is now is that, like, I've seen what the production value of ROH has been. I've seen clips of it lately on YouTube and everything, and I'm starting like, okay, this may be the time that I need to start investing in Honor Club. Because not only just to watch the current TV show that they have now, but to see the past stuff that I've been through as well. But, like, I'm liking the production value that Tony's been putting in. Also, if I saw correctly, they got new title belts for everybody.
Yeah, they did. They did.
That's pretty awesome. Like, I like the fact that the title belts are respectfully looks like they pay homage to the original belts, but they have a different design aspect to it, but it still has a little bit of the old school to it as well. And I absolutely appreciate what they did with that. I don't know who designed them, but they look awesome.
The belts look really nice. They look crisp and clean, right? Which yes. is all I ask for title belts. And then the unfortunate accident happened during the Reach for the Sky ladder match, and it just, you know, larger debate. We're not going to have this debate just yet, on this show at least, and that's it. You know, do we like bumps and spots and ladder matches just trying to one-up each other? We saw Dante Martin doing on the receiving end of a Canadian Destroyer. His ankle ended up below his body, and we saw a Sid moment. It honestly reminded me of Sid back in WCW, where his ankle was just twisted the opposite direction and hanging by a thread.
Oh, my God. That's, I mean, you told me about it. I didn't speculate what could have happened, but I never thought it was from that move. I thought it was like just a normal backflip or something that he normally would do. When he does those backflips, always get, yeah.
It was a Canadian Destroyer off of a table over the ropes onto a bunch of other tables. Mm. It was just something that didn't need to happen.
You know, they always say that these matches are very dangerous. Anything can happen. It is a major risk. When you see stuff like that, Boris, do you think that they should start toning down these matches?
100%. I believe that this match, honestly, of course, I do, right? And that's one thing, you know, people always say, oh, look how tame WWE is. This is why.
That's why. Yeah, I mean, like, it's tame, but, like, I always... See, here's the thing. This is why I'm not a fan of, like, extra in a gimmick match. Like, if you have war games... We talked about this before. If you have war games, the cage is a threat enough. You can utilize the cage, and they did back in the day. They did in 87 and all that stuff. There was no need. All right, granted, the Road Warriors did bring in a spike, you know, bracelet to use and all that stuff. That was like that one little MacGuffin or gimmick that they had. But other than that, it was like the cage was the weapon. Bringing in tables, and it just feels oversaturated. This is one of those situations. Oh, is this it?
So this is just a picture. I just want to show you the crazy setup that they had. So you see the ladder, the bridge ladder on top on the ropes. Two layers of tables, and they essentially missed the tables, and Dante's foot ended up under his body, and it was the first thing.
That's overkill.
Yep.
That is so overkill. Like, there's no, once you jump and get into that table, there's no control. There is absolutely no control. Like, this reminds me of when I was in, I went to ECW. It was Brian Lee versus Tommy Dreamer. You remember they had that feud?
Yep.
Ongoing feud when they were, you know, going, like, Brian Lee kept dominating Tommy Lee every week. And it was up until they had this crazy scaffold match where there were tables all around the ring and all inside the ring. And, you know, it was, anything could have happened. And the rig that they had to do the scaffold was not the best rigged, you know, on a deal. So they were playing a very risky deal during this match. It reminds me of that. And luckily they were able to, they didn't go all crazy like these guys were going. They made it so, like, when they fall, it was as lenient of a fall as possible. But I just looking at that, I was like, yeah, I can see how that can go down.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was dumb. It was crazy. But
thank you for pressing play.
No. I wanted a picture just to show you the rig.
That said enough.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was unfortunate. I hope Dante Martin recovers. Is able
wish
to
him
recover.
The best.
Yeah, just wishing him the best at this point.
Those kids, man, they got the worst luck. Yeah. I don't want to say the cliche thing because it's too in the nose, but they get the worst luck when it comes to this stuff, but, like, hopefully he'll recover. And, man, every time, it's just like their run in their career, in their young career, has been stop and started so many times. I've never seen a team that has had such stop and start times as much as the Top Flight.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, the only one that comes to mind, and it's not even the same, was when FTR debuted on the main roster. If you remember, they showed up.
You're right.
They would show up once or twice, get injured, and it was just, you know, rinse and repeat.
I think this is 2.0.
Yeah. Yeah. So as all of this was going on, and overall, fun show, really good show. Impact and New Japan had a great Multiverse United show on Thursday night. So between those two shows, there's just more than enough great wrestling already. But I'm sure there's been some GCW shows like Bloodsport and others that have been good. I've just been so busy because I've been covering shows for Slam. So there's only so much that I can watch.
This is like going to a major convention. Like, this is going like... And here, this is what I was talking about with me and Molly, because she's at C2E2 this week.
Yes.
Which is this weekend, which is like one of the biggest conventions of the year.
It used to be the convention in the 90s, right? Like Chicago.
It was until like New York Comic Con and San Diego Comic Con came about. And then those two.
San Diego's always been the con. When you say Comic Con, you always thought San Diego, right? But I think Chicago had a big one. Yeah.
Yeah. But like in terms of like the rankings, it's like San Diego's still there, but New York Comic Con is like always climbing so closer to them. And then C2E2 is always the second. It's like at number three in terms of that. But those cons, those elaborate cons like that, there's so much to do that it's hard to gather everything. You got to strategize what you got to do. WrestleMania weekend is exactly that.
Yep. Especially when it's held in a city like LA, where transportation isn't easy in LA. And, you know, because of costs, all these different promotions are all around the Southern California area. It's LA.
Wait until it comes up here next year. wait till it comes to my neck of the woods next year. I'm going to be very interested to see how things are going to turn, because this is like last time we had it was 99 with when I went, you know, the first Rock in Austin, and it was great, but like it wasn't as elaborate as it was now. This is like years later. This is like a decade later.
Speaking of that, who do you think's going to get the booking for the ECW arena? Will it be GCW or will WWE try to snag it just for the sake of it for NXT?
No, because you know why? GCW is getting a 2300 arena. You know why? Because the Lillicore Center is way bigger. GCW can't afford the Lillicore Center. I could tell you that. NXT, which had Takeover in the Lillicore Center before, which is the same place where AEW Dynamite plays as well, they'll be there. I guarantee you they'll be there. And if not, they'll be at the Wells Fargo Center. But
yeah, they'll probably be in Wells Fargo.
It's possible they will be in Wells Fargo. But honestly, if they wanted to go like really there, or AEW wants to go there, Lillicore Center is the best place. Because it's a bigger arena. It's a bigger arena to film in. I think GCW is going to get that. NXT is way too... NXT is way too big of a brand for 2300 arena. Yeah,
they'll grab Wells Fargo because today's show, in just an hour and a half, it's going to be at Crypto.com Arena. I still can't call it Crypto.com Arena. The only reason I'm calling it Crypto.com Arena is because I've seen it in my face so many times this week. But to me, it will forever be the
kind of a black eye now.
Right? Yeah. Yep.
It really should be called a black eye arena at this point, because like calling it crypto anything, it's just, man, if you were an investor, that's really nailing you.
Yeah, right. Head. It's better. What's that company that fell? Well, one of the many, the one that everyone's in jail, FXF, what's it called?
Yeah.
Barracks.
I forgot, but it's whatever. Like, take your pick. Everybody's screwed. Exactly. Everybody who invests is screwed.
All right, let's jump to some Rampage, because as ROH was happening, AEW had a show of its own that was taped on Wednesday from St. Louis. And overall, I thought this show, all things considered, when you consider how much wrestling is already on this weekend, when you consider that they literally had a pay-per-view running at the same time, because I consider them one company, they gave us a pretty fun show, which is smart because, you know what, there's a lot of people who don't watch ROH who watch AEW and vice versa, right? So you got to treat them like different brands for the most part. But I thought this show was pretty fun, nothing crazy, and it was exactly what it needed to be, knowing that literally at the same time you had ROH running and WWE's Hall of Fame running.
And it's really interesting to note that they never advertised ROH either, too. Which, I mean, yeah, it really is weird for them to do that in either decision, being that they're the same company and all that stuff. So I thought it was interesting. It was a good strategy not to do that. But at the same time, it's like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting strategy. All right, so let's get things started. Sammy Guevara and Takeshita started things off. This was a very fun match, but it went a lot shorter than I thought it would have.
Yeah, I mean, you could never go wrong with these two. And giving the finish, a lot of people are always like mad because Takeshita doesn't win every match. And particularly don't mind this one because, you know, it was under circumstances of, you know, he didn't lose fairly, if you will. Well, so, but within that, they had a great little short match and it was fun.
Yeah. And I also think that this match is essentially playing into the bigger story with Don Callis, right? Where Don Callis is trying to recruit Takeshita. So now that he lost unfairly and got cheated out, he's like, I bet you Don Callis now, whenever he's back, he'll say, hey, you need help. You need backup.
It makes me wonder, like, because of what happened to Don Callis earlier in the week, I wonder if he was intended to be there if he didn't get injured.
Right? Because the reports are that Don Callis was legit injured during his quick spot with Jon Moxley on Dynamite. So who knows what was the original plan here, or if this was always the plan, right? Like I say, they're just going to say, now the story is that Takeshita needs backup, and Don Callis is going to provide that. But overall, fun match. And this is, you know what I liked about this match? That this match left me wanting more in a good way.
Yeah, agreed. On both of them. And I like that they keep their... I mean, it's something that many... idiot fans, I should say, who try to always say when in terms of pushing story along, they're still pushing this four pillar story that they've been pushing since day one. And they're putting attention to Sammy. They're putting attention to Darby and Jungle Boy and all these guys. Like, these young guys are getting pushed. Not as fast as people want to, but that's because of their short attention, you know, spans that don't allow patience to happen. But I don't mind Takeshita still sitting in the back. I think he eventually will. We've seen Darby and we've seen MGF, you know, already get pushed to the sky. And like, how can you even argue the pacing when we got our champion is one of the young, you know, young homegrowns?
Yep, exactly. Takeshita with a Blue Thunder Bomb, very close near fall. Beautiful. I don't think anyone ever wins with that move. Takeshita went to the top. Guevara cuts him
off. Not in America. Right? Not in America, at least.
Yep. Guevara cuts him off with a kick. He tees a Spanish fly from the top, but Takeshita fights his way, squeezes his way out, hits a release avalanche German suplex from the top rope. Takeshita follows that up with a lariat. Another very close fall. Tay distracts Takeshita. Guevara hits a knee strike and hits the GTH for the win in 9 minutes, 45 seconds. Guevara signals to the double or nothing sign as if it was WrestleMania.
Hey, right? Now they're doing that bit. So, because we saw Darby do that recently.
Yeah.
He didn't point. He just looked at it.
Yeah. We got an interview with Ethan Page and Matt Hardy. Page is going to go face-to-face, is going face-to-face with Hook on Dynamite, and Hardy said he's best friends with Page. Page signed the contract on Hardy's back, and something seems off here, to say the least.
I actually like this segment because the look on Hardy's face and the way he was reacting, and the minute he looked at the camera when he had him sign his back, I need to know what's in the stipulations of the contract, because there's something in the stipulations of the contract that is making him grin so, you know, evilly, if you will.
Yep. Did he sign?
I wonder if he loses. Do they break? Does him and Private Party?
That's what
I can't wait to see this.
That's what I'm thinking. Second match was Trent Barretta and Chuck Taylor, best friends versus House of Blacks, Malakai Black and Brody King. This match was all great. I really love this match. Again, sub-10-minute match. We saw King choke slamming Trent onto the apron. King grabs a chair. Taylor stopped King. King powerbombed Taylor through a table. Trent hit King in the back with a chair. Things got out of control. And I think for one of the few times, the ref calls for a DQ.
Disqualification, yeah.
Yeah.
I love these guys so much. I love the House of Black. And because, you know, they're the closest thing to the Road Warriors we're going to possibly get in this generation. It's like the Undertaker what was the Undertaker's faction?
Ministry of Darkness.
The Ministry of Darkness. Yeah. It's kind of like a modern take on that with a Road Warrior type of flair to it. But I love, this is another group that we had where they were, you know, people were wondering why they haven't been pushed so hard and all this stuff. And it's like, patience, man, patience. And now these guys got the trios titles and they are just running amok.
Yep.
On everybody.
Love to see it. But, you know, it's one of those things. And I'm just going to say this for the sake of saying this. Did it honestly take all the rumors of them leaving for them to get this push? Right. Like, it's, I hope that's not the case.
Yeah, that is. I agree. I hope that's not the case. And it's the FTR situation.
Yeah.
With that. And, you know, there's been a discussion about like bringing reality into these storylines. And I didn't mind it back in the 90s because it was so new and new, it was rare, and it was shock TV. It's not so shocking anymore. Like, can we just go back to the old, like, just be creative and innovative with your narratives.
It's almost annoying to this point, right? Like, yeah. It's because, like, okay, like, we get it. We listen, we watch, we read, we know. But again, you know, the casual fan, and I'm always going to take the side of the casual fan, they don't give a shit.
Right. These guys are just looking to be immersed in a universe, not be taken out of, you know, taking a right pill to find out what's going on behind the scenes.
What do you
say? I don't care anymore.
The universe. But that's the thing, right? Like, it's true, right? Like, it's, yeah. So after the bell, Orange and Matthews, they're fighting on the apron. House of Black hit Dante's Inferno on Taylor inside the ring. House of Black stands over Cassidy after the beatdown. Matthews was the one who hung around the most. So it looks like Cassidy's going to be in a program with him. We get another video talking about the whole Swerve Keith Lee stuff, which honestly, I completely forgot about.
Yes, so did I.
Right?
It's that's one of those things. It's like, okay, he's got so much on his plate. you need to spread it out.
Yep. So I don't know which show it was. It may have been a concert, may have been something, but Swerve reunited with the rest of Hit Row on stage last night somewhere in LA.
That right?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of merging lately. In this
you know
weekend.
What it is? I honestly think it's the wrestlers saying, fuck you guys, we're all friends.
Yeah. Yeah. We've most recently, my man Megaran, actually, he's there now. He's at Wale Mania. He's performing there. Yeah. He's performing at Wale Mania and he's performing and I think he has his own concert. He tours up there. Whenever WrestleMania comes, he does exactly what every wrestling that plays do and has a show to perform in every place up there. And he works with Wale up there too. But he recently, you know, hung out whatever backstage or whatever and met up with Hobbs, Powerhouse Hobbs and Big E. And they took a picture together, you know, showing him respect. You know,
can you imagine if one day Big E and Hobbs were to work together? Like any shape, way, or form.
Let me tell you. People can argue with me. The most powerful threat since Bam Bam and Doc and Gordy.
Yep. Yep. Agreed.
They will run. They will be the new Doom.
Yeah.
They would kill. They would crush.
They would kill it. They'd kill it. Oh, what a rush it would be.
You got Big E. Big E can crush you, but don't have to. He just chill. Powerhouse would be the one to go everywhere.
You know what I just noticed? Your name is the Xavier. The AI flat out just said Dax, right? Motherfucker. I just looked at the screen right now, looked at the caption on your name. Holy crap. That's even scarier now.
How the brain works. You know, honestly, the reason why I even, you know, of course, my name is just flat out Dax, but I've had friends. Females who used to call me Dax Xavier, and it just stuck. So I'm like, all right, you know, it's kind of, I didn't name myself this, but it's hard not to, because, you know, in the 90s comic books were hot like that. And, you know, X-Men were known and, the people I used to hang around with used to say Dax Xavier. And I'm like, okay, you sound good saying it. I may hold on to this. And that I did. And then I just add my middle name, which is Josiah, as the alias last name. So there you go. There's my secret. There's my secret origin.
I love that. I love that. Speaking of females, it was time for the female match of the show. This one was quick, to the point, and served its purpose, and that was Taya Valkyrie versus Marina Shafir. This was essentially supposed to be a showcase for Taya Valkyrie, and that's exactly what it was. Yeah. Obviously, we see Jade Cargill out on the stage. Shafir kind of had brief control. Valkyrie essentially just controls the rest of it, gets the win in 2 minutes 40 seconds. After the match, Valkyrie was served papers for using Jaded. Cargill ran to the ring, but Smart Mark and Layla Gray held Jade back.
And then upon that, they sent somebody in there to provide the papers. Any idea who that is?
No idea.
Okay, so she's not an indie, you know, person posing
probably
as a...
Probably is, okay. But I didn't... I didn't really catch.
Okay. But I like the segment. I even like this. I like the way that it's pacing itself right now. Taya Valkyrie is a great, you know, threat because we didn't think of her, you know, as a person that could be a threat to Jade. I just don't know where they're going with this because it's like if she beats Valkyrie, where are they going next?
Statlander, whenever she comes back. I honestly
Statlander,
think.
Okay, I forgot about Statlander too.
I honestly think that's what we're waiting for at the end of the day.
I don't mind it because if it's not going to be Britt, then like Statlander's the next best, you know, choice for that.
Yep. All right. Lexi interviews Anna Jay. She said Julia Hart really pissed her off. Jay said pain doesn't bother her because she has a fat ass and a bad attitude.
That was a shoot. that was the truest words ever told by anybody. Yes, she does. And yes, she is.
Yep. And then we get a pre-tape, womp womp, with Juice Robinson and Mark Henry. Said it's time for the main event. Then we get all the cards. Let's just jump to the main event. Juice Robinson versus Action Andretti. Again, another sub 10-minute match. And it's
whoa. You missed something.
Did I?
The QTV bit.
Oh, I did. Oh, my notes are.
And the reason why I'm bringing that back, normally we could just say screw it, but we got to bring something up that I thought that was pretty awesome that QT did.
Go ahead.
I didn't know he was doing this. I don't watch Dark as much as I did, as I used to. Maybe I feel like I should watch it now because they're doing, they're actually transitioning stories into the fray. He's now using the Orange Crush, which is a move that is originated by Kenta Kobashi. I didn't know that he was using this, but to his credit, he actually credited the move to Kenta Kobashi before he actually changed the name called the Dirt Sheet Driver, which I think is hilarious because he's doing this whole TMZ bit. But I thought it was awesome that he at least credited Kenta before he actually adopted the move himself, because I had conversations with friends of mine before where like we were talking about like, I love that people adopt these moves, but I hate that they change the names of them as if we're not supposed to know where they're from, or they don't even tell. Like the only person I've ever known who's given credit up until this point was CM Punk with the GTS, and they actually credited Kenta for being the innovator of that move.
Yep.
QT, to his credit, he did the exact same thing. What I saw, he does a really damn good Orange Crush pin. And if you've never seen that move is no joke.
I love that move. It's a really nice move, and it's a believable move to get a win from, right?
Absolutely.
Which is something that can't be said about a lot of finishers nowadays.
Yeah. And then the ones that they are, convincing, they use them as side moves or signatures, which I hate.
And then there's a super kick.
If all else.
Right? Ah, craziness. All right, so let's jump to the main event. Main event was Juice Robinson, Action Andretti. This match was a lot of fun, but again, short, to the point, sweet. Anything stand out at you from this match?
Yes, and it was the one pet peeve I had about this match. All through the match, Juice kept saying, you're Starks. He's calling him Starks to get him hyped up. He's passing him over. At some point, I wish Andretti would have just at one point said, no, I am Action Andretti. Like, cause I felt like that kind of weakened him. I'm not trying to exaggerate the situation. It wasn't really that big of a deal, but in a sense, from a story standpoint, from a character development standpoint, you can't let somebody treat you like their bitch.
Yep.
Like if you're being called Ricky Starks, that means he's looking over you. You need to step up and stay like in a real fight. Like that wouldn't be happening. It's like, no, you better recognize, you better put some respect in my name. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm getting around the way now myself talking about like, no, you better recognize. I ain't nobody else but me. You know what I mean? So like, I wish, and you know, Action from Philly would have got him, whatever part of Philly side of himself came up and just at least slapped him in the face and said, I'm Action Andretti. He could still lose, but come on, you know, get some respect out of this match at least. And even though he got some back and forth and everything, I just feel like from a character standpoint, I think people would have really got behind him more if he would have showed some more respect and not let Juice just like really, you know, play, you know, yeah, because that's what he really did.
I think you bring up a great point, right? One thing that I always like is when a fight feels real, when a wrestling match feels like a legit fight, right? Let's be honest. If someone is calling you, you know, by someone else's name, that means that they're overlooking you. That means that they see you as nothing. You're going to fucking slap the shit out of this
person,
right?
Can I give you a great example?
Of course.
If John Bones Jones... would have done that to name any opponent that he actually has fought.
Yep.
You know, Sugar Shane Hell. I mean, like anybody, CD, like if he would have done that to any of those dudes, they would have mouthed off on him. Like, no, you're going to recognize my name. You're not going to disrespect me like this. Like for real.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, they need to act like they've been in a real fight.
That's the one thing that kind of I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I'm really glad that you bring that up because that was for sure something that I caught right away. And I was like, okay, I understand where they're coming with this, right? But it just doesn't look good. It makes action look like an idiot, like a punk, like a jabroni.
A juice, and I don't want to say juiced up. A very well in shape. You know, it just goes to show, like, you don't have to be in shape to be a punk or a wimp. You can still be in great shape. You can be athletic, but you still come off like a scrub, you know? Yeah,
exactly. And TLC said it best. We don't want no scrubs. Juice Robinson controlled most of the match. Andrade tried to come back with a shot to the stomach and a leaping elbow. He landed some kicks, sent Juice outside. Andrade hit a tope suicida. Andrade then went for a springboard moonsault onto Juice on the outside. The action ended up back in the ring. Andrade came off the top, hits a spinning DDT for a damn near fall. Andrade ran at Juice, but then out of nowhere, Juice hits a leg lariat spike DDT, aka the Juice is Loose, for the win in 9 minutes, 2 seconds.
I enjoyed the match overall, nonetheless. You know, the match was enjoyable. I just felt that it would have had a little bit more dimension to it if they would have added that little bit of thing, that little bit of aspect that, you know, but again, he's young and he's learning the ropes. Hopefully he'll learn to control his narrative within the story as well to that point, because it felt like he was just going, you know, he was going by the direction of Juice, who he should. But at some point, like, they should have a way of like saying, like, no, this is who I am. And I hope, like I said, you know, he's in Rocky Maivia mode right now.
Yes.
We're hoping that he gets to the Rock mode version of it, because we have yet to see, you know, what this guy is made of yet. So, I mean, overall, really fun match, really fun show.
Yep, exactly. Juice continues mocking him, and that was essentially that. That was the show. Again,
except Ricky Starks come out to the ring?
So Juice is mocking Andrade a little more. Ricky Starks eventually comes out, and that was that.
Real quick question. This conversation needs to come up soon, or it's going to come up soon. It's inevitable. Bullet Club. Can we say this is the most successful faction in wrestling history at this point? The longest reigning faction?
Longest reigning, yes. Most dominant, no. Most popular for merch, no. Actually,
not anymore.
Not anymore. I think people forget NWO also, and how huge NWO was. Yeah.
Well, no. I don't think people forget NWO, for at least not from the United States standpoint. And like, if you don't base it just, if you're basing it on like just being a wrestling fan of all, if you're looking at it from the totality of it, Bullet Club technically is the most successful because they've been the long running.
Yes.
Like, you got to date back to Prince Devitt. And granted, the leadership has kind of diluted.
Yeah.
In terms of who's the leader of this group now, because you went from Devitt to AJ to Kenny and to Jay White. And I think Jay White may have been the peak of it. And now we're at Finley, which I think is a great transformation of himself. We have yet to see what he's made of, but we'll see what they do with that. But this has been a long running, like, we got to look back at the Horsemen to see how long their variations lasted.
Yeah. 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 But overall, yeah, no, there's a for sure an argument to be made, right? That the longevity of the Bullet Club is there, right? And they've had their ups and their downs. And this iteration of Bullet Club is a very interesting iteration. But yeah,
just started, so we can't judge it yet.
Yet, I don't just yet. But yeah, that's that was the show overall. Pretty fun show in a weekend just full of wrestling. This show was exactly what it needed to be.
Yeah, exactly. A great prelude to everything that's about to happen, exactly. Or it was already happening.
That was already happening. That is to come. That is coming. That went and everything in between. Oh, I'm tired.
I wish you the best.
Yeah, I know. It's like it's good. I couldn't sleep last night at all, and I think it was just like general adrenaline.
It's like it's like you're in LA, in the West Coast right now.
I don't even want to imagine having to cover a WrestleMania weekend in person.
Your adrenaline is going to be crazy. Like,
yeah.
Again, I'm hoping for better things next year with WWE, because if it turns out to be the way that I would like to see it and want it, I may be going to WrestleMania next year.
Yeah, right. Right.
But we will see.
Hopefully so. Hopefully we'll be able to catch up and catch some shows together, regardless whether it's WWE or not. But
there will be a choice of everything up here.
We should try to catch the Supercard of Honor show next year.
I'm game for that. Yeah. I'm game. If they're coming back to Philly, I'm game for that. Definitely.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm assuming that it's just going to be wherever WrestleMania is. That's kind of been ROH's tradition.
I also think that it may not be in the 2300 arena.
Yeah.
I think Tony will step it up and put it in the Liacor Center.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, right? I think that would be the smart choice for them, because even yesterday they used USC's arena. There's so many smaller arenas in LA that they could have used, but they ended up going with USC's mini arena. And attendance was great for ROH, right? Like, look at the pictures. Yeah. They did really well, all things considered. What I'm interested in is seeing what NXT is like, because I believe that they sold like 8 or 9,000 tickets, which, okay. The show starts at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. local time.
That's crazy.
Right? It's something. That's what it is.
It's like an hour for now.
Trust me. That's why I'm looking down constantly. I'm looking at the time just thinking, I need to wake the fuck up.
Good Lord. God bless you. I wish you the best. And hopefully I will be able to do this again, because you won't be OD'd.
All right, then. Well, Dax, thank you again so much for joining me. I think we'll be able to do this again next week. Until then, I'm sure we'll chat, we'll catch up. Everyone else, thank you for listening. This is the free week here on SNME Radio. So if you like what you heard, be sure to go to patreon.com/SNME Radio. Be part of the family. Get every single show. There are just so many shows, too many shows to list off, but you'll get wrestling review shows like Tuesday Morning Cooked, which is our Raw review, NXT Talk. You get the Smack Daddies chatting SmackDown. You got the old Fucks chatting Dynamite. You get us chatting Rampage. And then we have Bam Weekly, which is kind of like the smorgasbord of wrestling, sports, entertainment, everything in between. We have a bunch. We even have an MLW review show. We have Dark Elevation review shows. It's a little something for everyone, a little taste for everyone. So again, that's patreon.com/SNME Radio. Check it out. Be part of the family. Get everything. And whatever you're watching this weekend, have fun. Dax, thank you so much again. He's Dax. I'm Boris. Until next time, stay tranquilo.